heart this challenge to our lives. Thank you that there's grace, Lord, but thank you that we can apply ourselves to that which you say. Father, we can just let go and let God and allow you to complete your redemptive work in our souls to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Het julle mekaar gegroet? Cool bananas. Ons is min, nee, die mense is haastig om vakantie te gaan, maar het is vakantietijd, ek gee toe. It's great to see you. Yeah, thank you for visiting with us this morning. So, think of the most famous person that you know. Yes, yeah, Shirley, you're legendary. You get legends and you get living legends and then you get Shirley. Think of the most famous person that you know. And think of how people just make such a fuss about them. And think about if you know that a famous person is coming to your home, what you're going to do in your home. Maybe you're going to clean some stuff up or get a special meal put together or ladies are going to get an outfit or get their hair done or the nails done. The guys are going to be like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. But people react differently to people's fame. But the thing about fame is that for you to be famous, people need to know about you. Mense moet jou ken, hulle moet van jou hoor, hulle moet van jou weet. People need people to make somebody else famous. With God, it is completely, completely different. God needs no people for him to have fame. I've called this message God's fame. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, it says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. God don't need people to make him famous of om sy naam te verheerlik en sy naam groot te maak. Kom ons maak die naam van die Here groot. We do that for ourselves. So what benefit is there for an individual to om die Here se naam groot te maak? How do we benefit it? Well, you know, can we actually, is there anything on earth that we can do to give God the glory and honor that is due his name? Is there anything that we can do, put together, that will make him worthy of the praise that is due his name? Just look at all of creation. Is there anything as spectacular and as beautiful as creation? There is nothing like it. There's so much of the sea that is undiscovered. There's so much in the universe that is undiscovered. And for a lot of us, there's places in your country that you've not discovered. That's the beauty of God. So, wat kan ek eintlik doen om sy naam groot te maak? God's fame does not need people for it to be there. For him to be famous, he doesn't need the praise. So, if you think about it then, our faith, Christianity, is like kind of weird because there's teachings in the Word of God that teaches us to praise God when he actually doesn't need it. Have you thought about that? There's so many scriptures. I'm going to go through just a few this morning about praising God. Just a few quickly. Psalm 69 and verse 34. Praise him, O heaven and earth, the seas and all that move in them. Psalm 148, verse 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Psalm 150, 1 to 5. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with a lyre and the harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. Tambourines, hallelujah. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. So there's all this stuff about praise God, praise God, praise God. And we know that everything that God has ever created makes a sound. Everything that God has created makes a sound. The protons and electrons that are spinning around atoms generate a sound. They've got recordings of sounds that the stars have made. The scripture says that the stars sang out. That's what the scripture says. They've got recordings of sounds that trees make. The trees make a sound. There's certain cells in certain plants that do not actually start functioning unless they receive the frequency of a bird that chirps in the morning. The frequency of the bird's chirp does something, and the cell in the plant just starts to do what only God created it to do. Folks, it's absolutely fascinating. Everything that God has touched makes a sound. Somebody once said, look at you, happy, clappy, Jesus-free Christians. You're hunting on. You don't see anywhere in the Bible Jesus carrying on like that. I mean, look at me, look at my hands, and there's spit flying. And you don't see Jesus carrying on like that. And the person simply said, no, but everybody you ever touched did. Everybody you ever touched was never the same again. So all of the stuff about praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. But yet, He doesn't need any of it. So the question begs to be asked then, why is there all this teaching in the Scripture about praising God? I submit to you that the benefit of praising God is for us. It's for our benefit. It's not like God is there, God has this, insecure. It's not like God suffering from any insecurity issues or identity crises. He's wondering, yes, you know, amongst all these gods who created, I'm like sort of like Ian Salmi, so I've got to get these people to start praising me to make me feel good. No. It's for our benefit that the Scripture teaches us to praise God and to make His name big. So this morning, when we look at a couple of reasons, it's for our benefit, why it's beneficial for us to praise God in no particular order. Praise keeps us aware that we can do nothing without God. Oftentimes, I look at the smallest little insect that my eyes are able to see at this age. Some of them I can't see. Some of them I can, because I'm getting older. Hallelujah. And I look at those tiny little insects, and they're alive, and they're living. And I think to myself, well, you know, you're not so crazy, because the Scripture says, look at the ants, you lazy bones. So it says, look at the ants. Now, you get some like serious ants, and you get some tiny little ants. But you look at those tiny little insects, and somehow there's life in that little creature. There's life inside that thing somehow. It's by the spoken word of God that that thing lives. That thing lives. And that's a miracle of God in itself. Our hearts don't beat because we're solar powered. Some of us have solar panels that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But we're not plugged into a power supply because, well, Eskom es, dan es hy nie. Yeah. But our hearts beat because of the spoken word of God. We don't have a rechargeable cell on the inside, but God keeps us alive by spoken word. Folks, we can do nothing without God. You know, I want you to, we're going to do a quick little experiment. It might be quicker for some than others, but hold your breath as long as you can. Take a deep breath and hold it as long as you can. And just keep it in. Don't breathe through your nose now, you chop. Dion goes and cracks up. He's lost his breath. But your lichaam kan net so ver kom voordat jy weer asem moet skep. Way, way, way more desperate than that is your spirit in need of the living God. En mense, kom ons wees eerlik met mekaar, ons besef dit nie. Ons dink ons gees kan klaarkom sonder daai intimiteit met hom, daai intimiteit. Ons kan nie. Ons leef asof ons kan, maar ons kan nie. Remember guys, when we were in our late teens, going to our 20s, we thought we were bulletproof, man. Hello? Remember that? And then you get older. And you realize, eintlik, is jy nie bulletproof nie, my ou. Jy is nie bulletproof nie. Jare terug as ek geval het met die off-road, jy stof jouself af, jy klim weer op en dan gaat jy weer vandag. Ja. Our spirits are in so much more need of God. So, by us praising Him helps us realize that we can do nothing without God. John 3:27 and says, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. So first of all, praise helps us to realize our absolute dependency upon God and that we can have nothing apart from Him. Number two, praise helps us keep a godly perspective of what's really important. A guy on his bed, about to breathe his last, says, "Gee, I just wish I spent more time at the office," said nobody ever. A guy on his deathbed, about to breathe his last, when medicines, doctors, nurses, medical aides can do nothing, said, "Gee, I just wish I bought more bikes." Maybe. Maar is nog eens ziek genoeg nie. A guy on his deathbed, about to breathe his last, no one said, "Gee, I just wish I was more famous." No. A person about to breathe their last on their bed, what do they long for? Some people die with nobody in their lives. Howard Hughes was one of them, one of those richest men at the time, died alone. When you're on your deathbed and you're breathing your last, you long for the things that money cannot buy. You long for that one more chance to say goodbye. One more chance to feel a hug of a loved one. To make amends with somebody that you didn't live at peace with. Those are the things that we long for when we're about to breathe our last. So praising God helps us realize what's really important. So what are the things that are important? Philippians 4 and verse 8, gee vir ons 'n aanduiding key. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When we praise God, our mind goes to those things. So secondly, praise helps us keep a godly perspective of what's really important. Number three, praise helps others to start their journey of faith. Praise helps others to start their journey of faith. At the police college, they used to say to us, "Student, wat glimlag jy so? Kry jou tande warm." Al hierdie snaakse gesegde, die hemel alleen weet waar daai goed vandaan kom. But at the time you didn't think of it. So what are you smiling about? Well, I've got a reason to smile. It has been signed. Everybody frowns, asseblief. Just humor me this morning, okay? Just don't smile and frown at the same time. I know it's difficult because you're laughing now. But frowns, man. And then smile. It's been scientifically proven that it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. You know my story about the gym. I go to gym in my spare time. But look at me, you can see I don't have a lot of spare time. So I'm at the gym and I'm cupping something. And one of the personal trainers comes to me and says, "Ozzy, wat oefen jy vandag? Gesig." Because all wat ek doen is... En die spierkies bly maar dieselfde hoor. But it pays off, I want to tell you, persist, because my muscles are round. Round here somewhere. Hey, you know. So praise helps others to start their journey of faith. When you wake up in the morning and you realize the fact that I'm alive and I can swing two healthy legs out of the bed and I slept in a bed and there's a roof over my head, I can get a smile on my dial and be grateful for something. Isn't it funny how human nature, we always compare ourselves to those that have more than us instead of those that have less than us? So us praising helps others start their journey of faith. Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You know, the scripture is such an incredible book of wisdom, because at other places, Jesus also says, When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't boast about it. But yet, yeah, it says, let your good deeds shine before all men. That's why I said, so that jy shine kan vang. No. that they might see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. So there comes a time in our life, there's a song, I forget which song it is, but it says, may my life be a praise unto you. May your life be a song where others see your life being a praise that helps them start their journey of faith. So number three, praise helps others start their journey of faith. Number four, and this I like. Praise keeps the enemy in his place when our testimony is one of praise. It keeps the enemy in his place. Psalm 149, towards the end there, speaks about what praise does. In fact, let's just read it, shall we? Can we go to Psalm 149? Jylle, is it recht by jylle? Kom ons gaan sien toe. Psalm 149. Okay, so I want to go there. I want to go to Psalm 149. Hallelujah. Go. So it says this. Let's just read the whole thing because we can. Praise the Lord. There's a hint. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise His name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that He honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Listen to this. This is where it gets militaristic. Verse 6. Let the praises of God be in their mouths, a sharp sword in their hands. To do what? To execute vengeance on the nations. Think about that. The praises of God, a sharp sword in their mouths, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of His faithful ones. This is a privilege that we all have. Can you say amen? All right. So praise keeps the enemy in his place when our testimony is a testimony of praise. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they defeated him, that's the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. When your testimony is a praise, it keeps the enemy in his place. Romans 16, 19, 20 and 21 says, be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. For the God of peace will do what? He'll soon crush Satan underneath your feet. When your testimony is a testimony of praise, it keeps the enemy in his place. Somebody has said that when we pray, God sends His angels. And it's true. Hebrews 1:14, it says, it sends forth these ministering spirits to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So when we pray, God sends His angels to work on our behalf. But when we praise, God pitches up Himself. There's power in praise, and praise is a weapon. It's been said that praise is the greatest expression of faith because you're thanking God for stuff that is not yet done. And we're not talking about a name it and claim it theology. There comes time when you persist. Even Jesus prayed for somebody's healing twice. But trusting God and praising Him in the midst of the storms that we face by faith. So we defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Number five, praise ushers in the presence of God into our lives. God is not somebody that needs coverage by the 8 o'clock news or CBN or billboards. The heavens and the work of His hands declare His majesty and the glory of His work and declare Him for who He really is. The heavens do that. His creation does that. He doesn't need social media to make Him famous. But when we praise Him, we create a throne for God to come and inhabit. That's why, kan jy die Here aanbid by jou huis? Ja. Kan jy die Here aanbid op jou eie, stoksel alleen? Ja. Kan jy die Here aanbid daar buite in die natuur met geen kerkgebou rondom jou? Kan jy dit doen? Ja. But something happens when there's
Die samesyn van die gelowiges is 'n besondere phenomenon. Dis iets amazing. Jy kan dit nie beskryf nie. Something happens. I can sit at home. I can sit down. I can be quiet sometimes. And I can get a message from the Lord. But when we come here and the Spirit of God delivers that, something special happens when the people of God get together. When we're here with one purpose. The chicks don't come here to show off their latest outfits. Hello. They don't do that. The guys don't come here to show off their bikes. We don't, yeah, do we come here to see each other, to meet and to greet? Yes, we do. But I believe the primary purpose, the majority of people come to this place is to get something from God. Say, God, we're trusting that you, where two or more gathered in your name, you there, God, and we want an encounter with you. Do people come for all the gifts of the Spirit and the hoo-ah? We come for the presence of God. And when God's people get together, Mensa, there's something special about this. I confess today, I love church. I don't like missing church in case I miss out on something. When I'm on holiday, I go to church. I sit under somebody else's teaching. I love church. I love church. It's amazing that so many people, they want to spend an eternity in heaven, but they don't want to go to church. Ooh, verdedan. I once posted that on Facebook. Woo, you should have seen the comments. Yickle stickle. Yeah, but this and that. Yeah. You know, guys, we realize that all you need to do to get hurt is to keep coming to church. Come on, man. Somebody somewhere along the line is going to upset you and they're going to do something they shouldn't have, or they're not going to do something they should have. This, who it is, God Himself with His circle of closest fellowship. The man said, scraps gehad onder mekaar. There was jealousy and bickering amongst them, and that was God Himself. So kan jy regtig waar verwag dat jy nie dieselfde gaan kry hierso in ons hedendaagse gemeentes? Come on, man. Let's just be real with each other. Help us to extend grace and compassion and understanding and sometimes long suffering with each other's issues and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Come on, man. Nobody said church life was going to be easy. It's not. And keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when we get together and praise Him, something special happens. The scripture says this, Psalm 22 and verse 3. In fact, you really should read verse 1 and 2. Because verse 1 and 2, the guy's complaining, man. Diem, sit het daar of ons is a belief, my brother. Psalm 22, verse, kom ons lees van vers 1 af. And you see there's a radical shift and a change in this psalm. Verse 1 and verse 2. It's coming up shortly. Hallelujah. Are we going to go there? Here we go. Listen, this guy, he's not a lack of plekne. I wish we could understand the severity of what he's saying. My God, why have you abandoned me? Is this guy feeling spiritual? Is he happy with life? He's making an accusation against God. Die Here, wie, hy is alomteenwoordig, he's omnipresent, you can't get away from him. He says, God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? How many of you felt like that this year? Don't put up your hands now. How many of you feel like that right now? You feel like, God, if you could just answer just one prayer of mine, Lord. Why are you so far from helping me? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. And suddenly something happens. Between verse 2 and verse 3, God. That's what happens. I don't know how, I don't know why, I can't fit it into my theological paradigm, but something happens. Between verse 2 and verse 3. And verse 3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of people. Guys, there's such depth in just those three verses. And he says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Israel, that word is significant. It's God's people. Are you God's people this morning? God is like, these are my people. These are my people. I'm going to show you a little later scripture. Chosen ones. So when we praise God, God pictures. God pictures. There's that song, "This is how I fight my battles." And it goes on. It's simple. "This is how I fight my battle." And he praises and he praises and he praises. So, point number five, praises ushers in the presence of God into our lives. Number six, and I only got 36. Praise lets us fulfill our creative destiny and purpose. I think when youngsters get to the end of their school career, they start wondering, you know, what am I going to do? Some know, like Saskia, Saviour precies wat sy wil doen. And she's pursuing that. But others are like, I don't know. Let me take a gap year, and there's nothing wrong with that. Take a gap year to find myself and hopefully find out what it is that I'm supposed to do. People try and find out what it is that they're supposed to do. Our creational purpose is so crystal clear in the Scriptures. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." This is from the King James, the New King James. "Why are you special? Why are you chosen? Why are you holy? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So praises helps us walk in our creational purpose and the destiny that God has called us to. Praising God helps us walk in that destiny that he has for us. Point number seven. Last but by no means least. Praises let us participate in heavenly activities with supernatural beings. Praises help us, to put it this way, I want to paraphrase. Praising lets us get in on the action of what's happening in heaven. Praises lets us do this. In Revelation verse 4, verse 8 to 11 describes these heavenly beings. Weird and wonderful creatures that do this. They say, "Holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty." So praises does that. So praise, folks, to summarize, does nothing for God. He doesn't need our praises. Yes, he enjoys our praises. But the ability to praise, God has given to us for our benefit. I want to summarize quickly by going through these quick points. Number one, praise keeps us aware that we have nothing except from God. Number two, praise helps us keep a godly perspective of what's really important. Number three, praise helps others to start their journey of faith when they see and hear and experience our praises. Number four, praise keeps the enemy on his place when our testimony is one of praise. Number five, praise ushers in the presence of God into our lives. Six, praise lets us fulfill our creative destiny and purpose. And number seven, praise lets us participate in heavenly activities. So, guess what we're going to do in the last few closing minutes of the service this morning? We're going to praise the name of the Lord. DM's going to select a song for us. It's Daso, wat sy naam groot maak. And we're going to praise the Lord. I want to encourage you, when we do that, think about the difficult times that you've had this year. Think about the time that you rather wish you didn't go through at all. And in that time, invite the Lord into that space, in that difficult situation, through that thing. Say, "Lord, I call you here to praise you now." Think about the insecurity of the unknown. Think about not knowing what waits for you tomorrow, next year. Think about the insecurity that you have concerning employment, concerning health, concerning relationships. Think about the insecurity and the instability that the whole country is facing right now. Folks, we're living in difficult times. And in that, let's praise the Lord. Let's worship him. Let's sing with every fiber of our being. Let's give God the praise and the glory that is due his name. With our bodies, with our voices, with our feet, our hands, let's worship the Lord and give him thanks and praise and honor in such a way that it puts the enemy on his place. Are you ready to do that? Folks, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand. If you want to, you can. If you want to just sit there in a state of worship, you want to bow your head before the Lord, you do that. But if you want to stand and rejoice, you just do whatever it takes to give God the honor and glory that is due His name this morning. Diem sy reg vir ons, my broer. Gooi om and pump up that volume, nee. Don't be shy.
We are one.